Please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. We thought about the great call that Jesus has given to us, not only to repent and believe, but also to follow him, to serve him with our lives and to fish for men. And tonight I want to come to a passage very familiar to us, the feeding of the 5,000. I want to come to this familiar passage, and for those who are feeling tired and exhausted, maybe after a busy year of ministry in the church, maybe feeling frail because of just other circumstances going on in life, I think this is a helpful passage to refresh us tonight. And let's take a moment and just pray before we come to study. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you are the Alpha and the Omega. We do thank you, Lord, that you are the one in control of every aspect of our universe. We do thank you, Lord, that you are the one who created and formed us in the secret place, and that you're the one who has ordained every day of our life. We thank you that no thing that happens in this world happens by mistake, nor does any incident that affects us happen outside of your control. And yet, Lord, we recognize that we ourselves are not you. We feel our weakness. We feel how frail our body is. We know how prone we are to anxiety. We know how prone we are to exhaustion. And so we ask, as we open your word, we ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would help us to see the truth that is contained in this book. And we pray that as a result of our study, our souls would be revived, and that we would be reminded afresh of the goodness of our shepherd, and that we would be reminded that you do indeed not just know about us, and are not just in control of everything concerning our lives, but indeed that you care for us, and that you help us, and that you feed us. And we pray, Lord, as a result of our study, you would help us to trust you more in the week that lies ahead, and as we trust, to be able to serve you more faithfully. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Often it's said in God's work, when we come home after maybe busyness in the youth ministry, the children's ministry, visiting those in need in our church, our God is incredibly good and we are incredibly tired. Often those who are involved in youth club, you come and you turn up and maybe you're so encouraged because of all of the young people who descend here on that particular night, and yet you no doubt go home feeling frazzled at the same time and feeling more urgently the need for more helpers. About this time of year when works are starting to maybe wrap up for the summer, I think maybe more than other points of the year, we're just aware of our own weakness. In Christian life, often some of us end up, it seems, doing everything, and we have so little time to rest, whether it be the ministry in the church and the care of our aging family or the need to care for the next generation that are coming through. Life just seems to be so busy and often so draining. The poem has been penned about the local church. Mary had a little lamb, 'twas given to her keep. But then she joined the local church and died from lack of sleep. Often in church, Christians, they get tired and stressed. And they do feel burnt out. They feel that the work is never done. They feel they just don't have any creative ideas left. And often they can feel that it is down to them to go and find and to feed the sheep. And there's always a few who seem to shoulder the load and they just feel tired. And when we feel tired, often we can forget that it is the Good Shepherd who is the full-time worker. Really, he's the only full-time worker. And he always provides for all of his sheep's needs. Each of us, in the different tasks that we have, we're simply under-shepherds. We're simply there to present his word that he's already given to us to all of those who need it. What the church needs, what Christianity needs, is not more creativity. It's not more activity. We don't need 24/7 church lives. I think more than anything else, what we need is a greater sense that the Good Shepherd is all that the sheep need. This evening we come to a story that's in all four Gospels. It's clearly very important and was very important to the early church. But in each Gospel, each writer, he highlights certain details under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to help the reader grasp a specific point. And here in Mark chapter 6, the writer has a particular point for all of our tired workers in the church. Those who have had a busy year with family and just feel it at this particular moment. Now, I want to read a little bit before the passage so that we see the context, because I think it highlights something of the tiredness of the disciples that we'll see in a moment. But let's begin reading Mark chapter 6, and I'll begin at verse 7. Mark chapter 6, and beginning at verse 7. And Jesus called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to have nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said, he is Elijah. And others said, he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was righteous and a holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. And he vowed to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half of my kingdom. And she went out and said to her mother, for what should I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry. But because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately, the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them. And they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. And he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages to buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Jesus is the good shepherd who knows the individual needs of his workers, of his under-shepherds. Now, I want to focus on the last part that we read, verses 30 to 44, but I hope you'll see how the context sheds light on the particular experience of these men. I want us to notice 3 simple things from the text. And the first thing is the condition of the disciples. The condition of the disciples. Look at verse 30 again. The apostles returned to Jesus and told them all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves." The narrative begins with these 12 men arriving back from their short-term mission trip, from their buy team, from their evangelism team. And they've come back and they've reported on everything that has happened. They've told Jesus all that they had experienced on their outreach trips. And a lot of good had been done. A lot of wonderful things had happened. But the disciples, as normally happens on an evangelism trip, have come back, and they've come back a certain way. They've come back exhausted. Exhausted. Jesus knows this right away. After hearing all that has been going on, listening to them speak, no doubt being able to see the bags under the eyes of these men, he sees just how tired they are. And so he himself says in verse 31, they need to rest a while. Because these men are exhausted. But there's more. They're not just exhausted, they're also hungry. We also see in verse 31, it ends by telling us that these men hadn't even had time to eat. They are like men who have come home and haven't had time to put a morsel in their mouth because they got to head out to the door-to-door or head out to the club at church. They haven't even had time to put a bite in their mouth. Now, I don't know about your home, but in our home, whenever Dad hasn't had anything to eat, he can be prone to be irritable. I've been told grumpy, and often more easily easily do I get down. You get hangry is the word that is used. These men are exhausted. They're hungry. But also, if you notice the context, they're scared. Do you remember what happened just before this story in the part that we read? Herod, the king of the province that these men have been out doing their evangelism trips in, he had just killed John the Baptist. John the Baptist, remember, who preached, according to Mark chapter 1, verse 4, a message of repentance. The same message that these disciples had been sent out to preach. Matthew adds another detail that makes things even more clear. That Jesus and his disciples received the news about John's beheading at this exact moment whenever they are reunited. And the men are giving their feedback. It's at this moment that Jesus and his disciples hear about John's death by Herod. Now think of the effect that would have on these disciples. They would have been terrified. They have just come back from marching around Herod's territory, preaching exactly the same message that got John's head chopped off. They were just back from doing the Christian work, and they felt exhausted and hungry and scared. And Jesus wanted to help them. And so he got them all in a boat, and he headed to what the disciples thought was a desolate place. Look at what happened next, verse 33. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. Now, most of the commentators, when they write about this episode in Mark, they come to this particular point and they talk about it as the most disappointing event that could have happened. Because very clearly, Jesus has just presented the fact that these disciples need rest. They're exhausted, they're weak, they're frail and fragile. And so the commentators look at it and they say that this crowd is just a disappointment. A disappointment. But I think they've lost sight of something. Because this whole trip was Jesus' idea. And Jesus doesn't make mistakes. He's the all-knowing king of the universe. And he certainly knew that his disciples were tired and they were hungry. But also he knew where he was taking them. And also he knew that there would be a crowd there to meet them. See, Jesus doesn't make mistakes. The story isn't about tired disciples who are superseded by the crowd. Rather, Jesus is going to care for his own. He never overlooks his disciples here. He is going to care primarily for his disciples in the narrative. He is going to address their exhaustion. He's going to address their hunger. He's going to address their fear by what he does next with the crowd. Jesus knew his tired workers would need to serve 5,000 men in order to learn that God provides when we think we have nothing left to give. The condition of these disciples, exhausted, hungry, and scared. Next detail I want you to notice in the text is the need of the people, this massive crowd. Think of the need of this particular group of people. Look at verse 34. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Now remember, for these disciples, they're here to learn something. Jesus is going to teach them something through what is going to happen. And so as they come into shore, they're all looking at Jesus to see how he's going to respond to the crowd. And we read in our Bibles, ESV translates it, compassion. Jesus looked and had compassion on them. In the Greek, that word's very emotive. It's a strong word. The idea is he looked and his heart hurt as he stared at them. He's so emotionally moved by the sight of this herd of people crowding on the shore. Verse 34 says he was so moved because they were like sheep without a shepherd. That's an Old Testament statement. It comes up several times in the Old Testament. And the first time it appears is right at the end of Moses' life. He knows he's going to depart. He knows he's going to leave the Israelites. And as he looks out on them, he's going to pray to God and ask for a new leader, Joshua, to be appointed. Because otherwise, these people will be sheep without a shepherd. And they need a leader. And here Jesus, as he catches that same phrase, as he looks out on this herd of people, he's got the same idea in mind. This group of people have no leader. Now, politically, they did. Technically, they did, at least. They had Herod. But we've already read, he was a useless leader. He couldn't even keep his preaching prisoner alive, despite wanting to. Because he was so crippled by peer pressure and pride. He offered no care for these people. Politically, they were shepherdless. But also religiously, they were leaderless. They had John the Baptist preaching to them, giving some guidance, encouraging the need for repentance to be right with God. But John's sermon had been cut short by Herod's sword. So now with John silenced, all this group of people were left with were the empty words of the Pharisees. Politically and religiously, they were shepherdless. So Jesus looks out on them, and his heart is moved with pity. And the disciples, as they look at Jesus, they see something of his sincere emotion for lost people. But they themselves are too tired, too hungry, and too scared to feel that same compassion as the boat pulled into shore. It's very interesting, isn't it, what Jesus does first with the crowd. Remember what they need. They need a shepherd. They're without a shepherd. And so what Jesus does is preach. Look at verse 34 again. When he went ashore, he saw the great crowd. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Jesus sees the crowd. He's moved with compassion. And the first thing he does is preach. And verse 35 adds, he preached till late. Now think about that. This is Jesus with genuine feeling for the people in front of him. He looks at them and he realizes in his soul, in his heart of hearts, that the most kind and gracious thing he can do for these people is to teach them. It's not initially to feed them or to give them a hug or even to socialize with them. The greatest thing he could do for them was to teach them. I think that's so important for us to remember. The greatest thing that we can do to help our lost world is to gossip the gospel, to teach the things of God. People should look at your life and see that there's something different about you. I hope when they look at the way you live, they do see something compelling about the choices you make in life. But the most compassionate thing you can do is to use words. And to tell them the truth about God, the Creator. To tell them the reality of sin and their need to know this wonderful Savior. We need to seek above all else to get this book across to people. When it comes to your Christian service, the greatest service that you can give is to tell or to encourage the telling of the gospel, the good news, the word of God. That's not something we're to be embarrassed by. That's something that we should know and pride ourselves in that must be central. If we really care about the community around us, we'll prioritize the preaching of God's word. If we really care about the neighborhood around us, we'll go and tell them the good news. We'll use words. We'll endeavor in whatever way it is to get this message out. It's not something to be embarrassed by. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. It's through the understanding and through the teaching of this book that compassion is expressed to a lost world that needs help. People are hurting, and they need many things. There comes a point here where the people do need to be fed. But our primary duty as a church is to get across the word that brings life. That's what our lost world really needs. The condition of these disciples, they were exhausted, they were hungry, and they were scared. The need of the people, they were sheep that needed to be fed God's word. Now, with all that in mind, I want you to notice the lesson the workers, the disciples, learnt. The story shifts gears in verse 35. It says, and when it grew late, the disciples came to Jesus and said, this is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. Now, the disciples make a very good observation. Jesus, it's very late here. And these people are going to need food, and there's no food nearby. We've got to let them go if they're going to have time to eat anything. That was a sensible suggestion. Look at verse 36. Send them away. This is what the disciples say. Send them away to go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. That was a smart choice. That was a good suggestion. That makes a lot of sense. But notice how the all-knowing good shepherd responds to, remember, tired, hungry, scared disciples. Verse 37. He answered them, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. The Greek, the you, is emphatic. In other words, in our English writing, our English Bibles, it could be put in bold and underlined. You give them something to eat. I remember fragile flowers in front of Jesus, tired, hungry, scared. You give them something to eat. The disciples would have been stunned. And their heads start to spin in panic. And so they say in the rest of verse 37, oh, we would need at least 18,000 pounds to feed everybody. Where are we going to get that? Verse 38, they go and they do a search and they realize that they have enough food among the whole crowd to feed one person. It's not going to go very far. You notice the whole way through, Jesus is poking, prodding them. Verse 37, you give them. Verse 38, how many do you have? Verse 38, go and see. Jesus is pushing these tired men just a little further because he has a very special lesson to teach them. And so when the lack of resources is emphasized and the disciples are strained and stretched further than they thought they could go, then Jesus gets everyone to sit down in an orderly way on the green grass. It's interesting, isn't it? He literally makes them lie in pastures green beside still waters. And then the lesson begins. Look at verse 41. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, Jesus looked up to heaven and said a blessing. and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all. Jesus prayed. And then he placed, notice this, he placed into the hand of the disciples the supplies that they needed so that despite their tiredness, despite their hunger, despite their fear, despite the lack of money, despite their lack of resources, these disciples could give the people something to eat. In fact, look at verse 42. And they all ate and were satisfied. Through Jesus working through these men, the disciples were able to supply everything that was needed. In fact, verse 43, and they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and a fish. Those baskets that the text speaks of, we don't often think about those. Those baskets were the lunch boxes of the disciples. When they were out traveling all around the world at the time, they would have a little basket, and in that basket they would maybe be able to hold enough supplies for the day or maybe even for 2 days to get them through. And here the disciples take their personal lunch boxes and they're able to cram them full with the leftovers. They're able to get their supplies for the journey for the next 1 or 2 days. These once hungry disciples now have lunch boxes for tomorrow. So greatly did Jesus supply their need. It's interesting in Mark. Nearly every time a public miracle takes place in Mark, Mark always notes the crowd was amazed. As they saw what Jesus did, the crowd was full of amazement. In the passage we read, the crowd's very quiet. It's almost as if in the crowd's eyes, Jesus prayed, and then the disciples fed them. They don't necessarily see the miracle. They just experience the generosity of the disciples. It would seem from the text that only the disciples really fully get the lack of resources. And only the disciples fully understand the divine source of the bread and of the fish. See, Jesus, he never made a mistake when he took them to this particular location. This exhausted, hungry, scared band of missionaries. They needed more than just rest. They needed a problem. They needed a role. And then they needed to take away baskets of evidence so that they would know in the future anytime they felt weak, they could know Jesus would always supply them with everything they needed to care for his sheep. It is interesting. We said before, this is the only miracle recorded in all four Gospels. It clearly meant a lot to all the disciples. Because here they learnt that when we feel we are running on empty, Christ will still aid us in his service. Think about the disciples' personal situation here. For them, Jesus' instructions at first seem very hard. And yet, through obedience, these hungry men of verse 31 now have their baskets full of food in verse 43. It's interesting, isn't it? In the middle of the work, the good shepherd doesn't neglect them. He doesn't leave them wanting. Instead, he prepares a meal for his disciples also, guaranteeing the assurance that goodness and mercy will follow them all the days of their life. These disciples in this moment, as they feed others, They themselves are nourished. And they themselves and their baskets are provided for. What a reminder that as they would serve God in the future, that again, they themselves, as they serve, would be nourished. And they themselves, as they serve, will be supplied every need they have. What about you? The end of May in Lisburn Baptist Church. Do any of you feel tired? Do any of you feel drained? Do you need the assurance these disciples need it, that Jesus does indeed love you? He notices your weakness. He knows how tired you feel, and he insists he will use you and he will be your strength. He will supply the words to say at the right moment. He will undertake for you when you're tired. He will take care of the sheep through you, and sometimes even in spite of you. He calls us, as we said this morning, to faithfully follow him and then to leave it with God to work wonderfully. And as we follow him and as we serve him, it's so important to realize he doesn't neglect you. He supplies your every need at exactly the same time. Maybe you're not a Christian here tonight. And you're wondering where you fit into this picture. I think Jesus' words tell us where you fit in. You're a sheep without a shepherd. And just as Jesus does care for his own, he promises to care for any who come to him in repentance and faith. And call in this text to you is to come to the good shepherd who will never leave you nor forsake you. Put your trust in Jesus Christ, the one who takes care of every sheep under his care. And those of you who are saved, it's so important we realize our Jesus Christ doesn't neglect us. Sometimes we feel that we're the ones giving. Maybe you feel like that sometimes in the church. In reality, you're always on the receiving end. Always on the receiving end. Even in those moments where maybe you stand up to teach, care for the needy, spend yourself for the work of the ministry in this place. Even in those moments, God supernaturally nourishes your soul. And refreshes your spirit and revives your heart too. Today, if your body feels tired, hungry, or scared, look up because Jesus is caring for you. Let's pray. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.